For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, so tonight we're going to begin a year two learning the Nesiva Shalom from the Slonim Rebbe, who lived relatively, very recently actually, who has become very well known for combining Chassidus together with traditional Litvak Lomdus. As far as his Svarim are very, very popular in the world, both in the Yeshivish world and the Chassidish world. They're just a very popular series of Svarim. We're going to use them as a springboard for our discussion in terms of getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. So the piece that you have in front of you, it's all in Hebrew if you didn't notice. I will be reading it, but doing a lot of translating. No Hebrew necessary as far as actually understanding that which is going on tonight. Let us begin with his opening sentence, and we'll start that as our springboard. Unisana toikef kedushas hayom kihu nora va'ayom. So you might recognize that sentence. That is from the Nisana toikef tefillah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also. Let me relate to you the kedushas, the power and the holiness of the day, kihu nora va'ayom, because this day is awesome and frightening. That's how we define in what is for many people the most moving tefillah of the day, who by fire, who by sword, who by water, who will live and who will die. That paragraph opens with the line of describing the day as being Nora V'ayom, awesome and frightening. And if I were to ask the question, what element of Rosh Hashanah makes the day Nora V'ayom? What element, what is it about Rosh Hashanah that creates a concept of frighteningness, awesomeness? What aspects would you come up with right away?
The day of judgment.
Right? It's a day of judgment. It's the day in which we say who will live and who will die. It's a day of judgment, which is what he writes. That's where you would start from. And we have to understand this day, which is considered Kadosh. The most simple, basic starting point of what is it that makes the day so awesome and frightening is that it's a day of judgment. That's the gut reaction as to what is it about this day is that it is the Yom Hadin. Bo ya'amid b'mishpat kol yitzurei olamim. On this day, everything that's been created stands in judgment. Uchamaymer Chazal, and as the Chazal tells us in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah kol boi olam over in the fun of Kivnei Maran. Everybody passes before Hashem. Like Mnei Maran, the Gemara goes through the different interpretations. We'll say it simply like sheep passing before the shepherd. Each one of us will pass before Hashem in judgment. And as the Zohar writes, Kutcher Baruch Hu Kolim Lameidon Alman, Hashem stands to judge the entire world. So that's our starting point. If the day is considered and defined as a day of ayum v'noira, of awesomeness, of frightening elements, it's because it's a day of judgment. We stand in judgment, we pass before Him, our lives literally hang in the balance. Ach lefizet tamua ma'od. However, the Slonim Rebbe asks the question, there's something strange about defining Rosh Hashanah as a day of judgment, about defining it as a day in which we should be scared, in which we should be frightened about what's coming. If you read through the Torah, you actually learn the Psukim. The Torah describes the different Moadim various times throughout the Chumash. We lay them every Adiv. If you read it, and you read about Rosh Hashanah, and you want to know, what's Rosh Hashanah about? So how do you find out what Rosh Hashanah is about? Open the Chumash. What will you find?
Nothing.
Nothing. You won't find anything. You'll find, what do you do in Rosh Hashanah? Blow the shofar. Is there a hint of judgment? Nothing. Nothing. So on Musaf, we're going to stand there, we're going to say, today it's awesome, it's frightening, it's a Yom Kadosh. We're going to say that we pass before Hashem like B'nai Maron, like sheep, being passed before the Judge of Judges, the King of Kings. And then you lane, and you read what the Torah itself has to say about it. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't tell that. It says it's a day of Tzkiyah Shofar. Make for me a yantiv and blow the shofar. Simply doesn't say anything, not even a remez of a Yom HaDin, not even a hint like we find all the other Yom Tovim the Torah tells us what it's about. Pesach, Sukkot, Yom Kippur, Slichot, Rosh Hashanah is totally silent. So what is this day about? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two is, we're going to move to the second paragraph. I'll ask it outside. Is Rosh Hashanah, Day of Judgment, a Jewish thing or a non-Jewish thing? Does it apply to us, Shavuos? Is it a Jewish holiday or non-Jewish holiday? Jewish holiday. Yom Kippur, is it a Jewish thing or a non-Jewish thing? Pesach, Jewish thing or non-Jewish thing? So, I mean, these are Jewish holidays. They're related to us as Jews. Rosh Hashanah. Jewish concept, or is it also a non-Jewish concept? What do you say?
The Sanatokot has made it into a Jewish holiday.
Because?
Because of the judgment, whereas if there was no reference to judgment, then maybe...
Within judgment. So is judgment only for us Jews?
Kol Bnei Olam.
Right? Kol Bnei Olam. All people. Let's read it inside the second paragraph. Uve'etzem ahus yom adin gam ken yeshlav. We have to understand this concept of a day of judgment. The miloshon chazal, from the language that chazal use, kol boy oilam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron. All people of the world pass before him like the sheep before the shepherd. It's not it. We like to say all Jews. That's not what chazal said. Chazal did not define this day as a day of judgment for Jews. Mashma, sheyoyim adin makif b'nei bris, v'she'enam b'nei bris. Sounds like what's happening on Rosh Hashanah, in as much as we are being judged, in as much as we recognize that we are being judged, but everyone is being judged. What an interesting yontiv, that this concept, the etzem, the essence of the day, Chazal don't even paint that picture as being something specifically limited to the Jews. Not only that, Bali Bechira v'she'enam Bali Bechira. Not only are Jews and non-Jews both being judged, seemingly, even those beings which don't even have free will. Those who have free will, and even those who it seems don't. Uchamaymer ha-Python. And if you read through the Python, the poets, when he put together the Rosh Hashanah liturgy, V'tizpor v'timne, you'll be familiar with these words, V'tizpor v'timne v'tifko nefesh kol chai, V'sachtoch kitzvo l'chol v'riosecha. Every kol chai, animals, humans, every living creature is given their judgment on this day. Not just the holy Jews, Jews, non-Jews, animals, everything. Not only that, and the bracha of Musaf, Kisavi Chok Zikaromi Hipokit Kol Ruach Vanefesh, Lihi Zocher Maisim Rabin Vahamon Brios Lain Tachlis, Nilo Nifkar Kayomaze, everybody. Heinusha Kol Ruach Vanefesh Vahamon Brios, Nechlon Yomadin, it's just proving again everything. Zorach Lifi Zelahovin, Mamash Mos Yom Hadin, Beyachas Lemisha Einu Bal Bechira. What does it mean? Animals? Kol Nefesh? Kol Chai? What? Judgment? We could say the judgment is awesome if I'm a human being and I'm being judged on my actions, but it sounds like even the non-Jews who are not part of the program, they're not even told what they're also being judged. Animals are being judged. And now he adds, Malachim, the angels. V'od yoser matzinu shafilu malachim yechafezun v'chil ur ado yochezun. Again, this is familiar from the liturgy. Even the angels in heaven tremble at the concept of standing in judgment. When they tremble, the Python, the poet of our liturgy, does not write, they're trembling because they're scared for us. But that, Lifkod al tziva maron. Because it's the day that the heavenly hosts are going to be judged. What does that mean? Mashayach Yom Hadin, like Abe Hamalachim. What kind of what animals now? Non-Jews, okay. Animals? Angels? I'm getting a second. V'chiyeshlem b'chira lasos kirtzonam. They have b'chira? They have free will? How do we understand this concept of Yom Hadin? Yeah.
That was the question of first.
They don't have b'chira, so how could they... 100%, that's his question. No, so we have our starting point of... it's clear from our liturgy that the concept of being an awesome and frightening day comes from the fact that it's a day of judgment. Problem is, number one, the Torah itself is silent on that. The Torah itself does not tell us anything about being a Yom of Judgment. It only tells us to blow the shofar. Further, he asks, when you look into what this Yom HaDin, this Day of Judgment is, seems to be a little bit strange. So it's much more expansive than we would have thought, not only including us, including non-Jews, including animals, including angels, are all wrapped up in this Yom HaDin. Okay, question number three. So what would you say? I'll ask it outside again. Now that we've set up this frightening, trembling day that even the angels don't know what to do with, should we or should we not celebrate this din day as a regular chag, like we do all of our other holidays? When you say, like, okay, what are the Jewish holidays? What's the Jewish holidays? All right, everyone will say, okay, well, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur, we have Sukkot, the Pesach, and Shavuot. So should we treat, as we relate to Rosh Hashanah, should we treat Rosh Hashanah as a chag, as a yontif, as a joyous day, in the same way that we treat Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot? How should we relate to it? Well, with everything that we started with, one would be inclined to say, well, there's a frightening awesomeness to this Day of Judgment. The answer would be no. Except that that's not the case either. And as much as it's frightening and awesome and a Day of Judgment for the whole world, it's a chag. Beginning at the top of the second column there. But O.J. Shalit is bone. Yeah?
Yom Kippur considered like a chag? Yom
Kippur also is, which is going to be also a discussion we're going to have 100%. Like, in other words, those two go together. When you talk about this question of, you have the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, which are Yom Tovim in the real sense, as we know it. And then, where do Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that are the Yomim Noraim, where do they fit in terms of how do we relate to them as far as the chag goes? It looks like a chag from the way that we treat it as far as like not doing malacha, Shabbos clothes, kinds of things. But how do we relate to those 2 days? Where, you know, Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur. What do we do with them?
Some seem like we celebrate them like kind of kafuch, like in some ways. Like Yom Kippur isn't supposed to be a lot more, like, it's a lot more pure. It's kind of treated differently. Rosh Hashanah almost seems like celebrated. Kind of like,
so that's where that, so that's this paragraph exactly. And I was like, we start off, well, if it's a frightening, awesome day of judgment, it'd be hard to imagine really treating it with the joy that we do of Sukkot. But Shari Matzina de Rosh Hashanah Hu Chag, we find clearly that the sages treat Rosh Hashanah as a pure chag. Pasuk says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow on this month of the shofar, b'kesel yom chageinu, when the day is like covered from the moon on the first of the month, and it's called the yom chageinu, the day of our chag, the day of our holiday. As chay mevarchin olav shechianu, when Rosh Hashanah comes, you light candles, you make kiddush for the first time. Shechianu, usmeichem al hafasa, we are shechianu v'kimanu v'gianu. There's a simcha that is included in the day. Uvitfila omrim, and what do we say in davening? Vatitein lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava es yom hazikaron hazeh. We use the same language of thanking Hashem for giving us this day, like we do for all of the moadim. Vim hayarak kipshuto shu yom adin v'mishpat harei lechorein chag el yom etzev v'daga. If we only look at it from the perspective of our lives hanging in the balance and judgment being carried out, it's not a day of joy and celebration, it's a day of sadness and worry. It's a day of great concern. Yes, and even more than that, Tzarech Lahavim B'Sefer Nechemia, in the book of Nechemia, in the end of Tanakh, where it describes the Yavi Ezra coming as Torah Lefnei HaKol. Ezra is in Eretz Yisrael bringing the exiles back from their 70-year exile in Babylonia, in Babel. He brings out a Sefer HaTorah and reads it before the people on the seventh month, on the first of the day, which is Rosh Hashanah. Vayikaru b'Sefer HaTorah Selokim Mefurash, and he reads what the day is about, and the people begin to cry because they haven't been observing the Torah. So it's Rosh Hashanah, and they're crying over their lack of observance. What should be Nehemiah's reaction as the people are crying out of remorse on Rosh Hashanah over their not fulfilling the laws of the Torah? So one of our argument would have said he would have been overjoyed. It's the first of the Aseret to make tshuva. They're back in Eretz Yisrael. The people, like, think about it. We've returned. We haven't been observing the Torah. It's Rosh Hashanah, and they're crying about it. Magnificent. And he says to them, "Hayom kadoshu l'Hashem Elokeichem." Guys, today is a holy day. Al tisavlu ve'al tivku. No mourning, no crying. Ki boichem kolam ki shama mistivret. The people start to cry, and he stops them. Vayom elam luchu ichlu mashman. Go home, eat your good food, and drink your good drinks. Shalchu manos le'nachalo, and send gifts to those who don't have. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu. Today is a holy day. Al tatzu, no sadness. Ki chedvas Hashem imuzchem, because your strength is the joy of Hashem. As Rashi explains, they were crying for not having fulfilled the Torah. If you wanted to paint a picture, you're going into Rosh Hashanah, speak to a guy in yeshiva and you say, okay, it's Rosh Hashanah, what will it look like as a successful Rosh Hashanah for you? You're going to be in shul, you're going to be yeshiva focused. What does success look like during davening? And all of us have started davening, it's a long davening. What does it look like? So many yeshiva bachra would say, if I can cry, my goal is to cry on Rosh Hashanah. If I can get so into the tefillah that I can sense and feel the Yom HaDin, where I can shed a tear, success. Then I know that I'll have focused correctly, I'll have had right kavana. Chas v'shalom. Ezra Anavi says to Jews who were crying out of remorse, out of sadness, and he stops them and he says, not today. Not today. Today is the Yontif. Today is a joyous day before Hashem. Chedvas Hashem imuzchem. No crying. Lama omer lem al tivku. Why does he say that to them? Mashma din yonu shrosh Hashanah hu chag. Shetzorach l'smayach bo. You have to be happy. Okay, so that's question number two. Off count of our question. So we have, why? What's the concept of the Yom? Question number one was, why is the din not mentioned in the Torah? Question number two was, what's the concept of judgment on inanimate objects? Or I should say really on animals, without Bechira, on Malachim, on non-Jews, why does it didn't extend so far? Question number three is, if it's such an awe-inspiring day, why is there such a focus that you're not allowed to be sad? You're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to be worried about your judgment. You have to only be filled with the joy of recognizing the concept that this is a chag. Okay, so if it's a chag, so now I'll go back, let's go back the other way. So am I allowed to express myself with shira, with song, and with regular yontif expressions? Being that you just told me that it's a chag, I have to. So continues Lanu Rebbe, if this day is not confusing enough as it is, it gets even more confusing, because now we find seemingly contradictory statements from Chazal and telling us how we should actually behave on this day. On the bottom paragraph of that this first page, page one. Gam bedivrei Chazal matzino b'chor. Also in the words of Chazal, we find ma'amarim soisrim ze'etzeh. We find conflicting, contradictory statements. Shibim Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Omer Rabbi Yavo, Omer Malachai Ashor Sesnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mipnei Ma'ein Omim Lefanach HaShir B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. The Malachim are not allowed to say Shira on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All the days of the year, the Malachim, the angels, come and they sing song, they sing Shira before Hashem. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Hashem stops them. He says, no Shira. So the Gemara records the conversation. The Malachim ask. They ask of Hashem, and they say, why not? Why can't we sing Shira? It's a joyous day, no? Let's sing. Amar Lahem, Hashem responds to them, and he says, Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Din. Is it possible that the king should sit on his judgment, on his throne of justice? V'sifrei chayim, v'sifrei meisim, unachim lefanov. And the books of life and of death are open before him. The Yisrael omrim shira. And the Jewish people, and you up in heaven, should sing shira? How can you sing shira on a day like this?
Because it's drowning by us.
What's that?
Is that like drowning out in Israel?
I don't know if it's drowning out. It's inappropriate, the way the Gemara says it, on a day that the king sits in judgment, in which lives hang in the balance. How can you sing Shira?
Like Pesach.
Correct. So the Slonim Rebbe says, okay, so I'm all confused. On the one hand, it's a day of judgment. I would say, okay, fine, let's treat it like a day of judgment. So he says, no, you're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to be sad. You're not allowed to be worried. You have to celebrate it as a chag. Okay, fine, let's celebrate it as a chag. No, well, you can't go too far. You can't really celebrate it as a chag because your life hangs in the balance. Rosh Hashanah, if you haven't already gotten it from what the way that he's presented it, is by far, in my mind and experience, I should say, the most complex and confusing day. Because it's, what do you do? To say that it's a day of judgment and I'm frightened and I just want to cry all day? You're not allowed to. It's Yontif. You have to be filled with simcha. You have to have a suda. You have to have a Yontif meal. So it's okay, fine. Let's sing Zmira. No. How could you sing Shira? Your life hangs in the balance. Don't you realize you're being judged? Don't you realize everything is right there? You can't just sing Shira like nothing's going on. Continues the son of Rabbi Ilu Birushalmi on the pasuk Mi Goy Gadol Asher Lo Elokim, who was such a nation like us? So the Gemara darshins Eza Uma, in the last couple lines there, Eza Uma Kuma, what kind of nation is like our nation? The normal way that a person acts is when he knows that he's sitting in judgment. So he puts on black clothes, and he covers himself in all black, and he mourns and he cries. And he lets his nails grow long, and he doesn't get haircuts, and he's worried. Aval Yisrael, the Gemara says, ain't okay, that's not how we act. How do we prepare for Rosh Hashanah? Everybody's got to get a haircut, you need to be showered, get your house ready, prepare for Yontif, nice Shabbos clothes. Loshim Levenim, we put on our white clothes, Misatim Levenim, Megalchim Sarom, we get haircuts and we shave, Oichlim Vishoisim, Usmechim Rosh Hashanah, Mitoch Bitachon Ba'ashem. And we rejoice with the Su'uda, with Bitachon, faith and trust in Hashem that our judgment will come out well. So he's pointing this out again as a contradiction. Can you sing Shira? No, you can't sing Shira. Why can't you sing Shira? Book of Life and Death is open before you. How can you sing Shira? So should you fast? Well, you can't fast either, because it's Yontif. And not only do we say it's Yontif, but we are overjoyed with our Su'uda, because we know that we have the faith and bitachon that Hashem will give us a judgment l'tov, it'll all be good. So we have a Su'uda. And again, as I said, I find the nighttime Su'uda, all of the meals of Rosh Hashanah, are so incredibly complex to me. You know, you get yourself all geared up for Rosh Hashanah, the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah. You go to shul Rosh Hashanah nights, and you sit there and you say Shemona Esrei, Rosh Hashanah, for the first time. And then you go home, and there's Simanim, and there's apple and honey, and Yontif. Yom Kippur is so much easier. You're in Yom Kippur, right? You get into Yom Kippur mode. You're in shul, it's Yom Kippur.
You know what to do,
and you go home, and nobody talks, and there are no games, and there's no meal. If you want to learn, great, or you just go to sleep because you got a long day. You're in Yom Kippur mode from the moment Yom Kippur starts until the moment Yom Kippur ends. Focus, however long we can focus on Yom Kippur, we do it, but it's focused. Rosh Hashanah, you're focused for 15 minutes in shul at night, and you're just getting into it. You're all geared up from all the days of preparation, and before you know it, you're home dipping apples in honey. Dip the apple in honey. Like, how do you, what's going on? My life is in the balance. Everyone's so cute, all the preschool songs, it's coming with Yontif. And then you're passing on the simanim. It has a joyous. And then you gotta wake up in the morning, and it's like, zoom into, Unisana Tokef, who by fire, who by. And as soon as you take a breath from Musaf, what do? You go home, you have another Yontif meal. And then you do the whole thing again. I always find Rosh Hashanah just complex. Very, very difficult.
Make more sense when you fast it.
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. If it's awesome and frightening, just it should be a Yom Kippur. I can deal with Yom Kippur really well. Like, I get it. I don't like it. It's hard to fast, but at least I understand. I'm in the mode. I'm in the zone. Rosh Hashanah is hard, really, really hard, and it's complex. It's hard because of all the reasons. Chazal set it up that way. The Torah sets it up that way. The Torah doesn't talk about the Yom HaDin, but that's all that Chazal can talk about. It's the Yom HaDin. We pass before him, but everybody passes before him. So let me fast. You can't fast. You have to recognize that it's a holiday. Okay, let me sing Shira. How can you sing Shira? Your life hangs in the balance. Okay, fine, I won't sing Shira. What do you want me to do? That's the confusing part.
The preparation kind of like, how does Chazal determine that it's a day of judgment?
Where they get Kichoku Mishpat Lelokayako, the Psukim of the Kesiyom Chagenu Kichoku Yisrael, we talk about it as a day of judgment, from Tehillim, and from, that's the Torah Sheval Peh, Chazal see that, you know, throughout the Mishnayot and Rosh Hashanah. That question is a good question as to, since the Torah itself doesn't say it, where it becomes, so we'll see that, we'll see that through this piece, where, when we understand what the day is, why it becomes so obvious that it is the day of judgment. The Mishnayos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah take that as a given, and where the hints come from, where we'll see that will be part of our discussion that we'll get to. We won't get to that per se today, but we'll get to that. Mirtzah. Okay, last paragraph on in Chelek Aleph on the page two before the Beis, with one more paragraph, one more question before we start getting to some answers. We'll start already today. Let's mention a little bit about Yom Kippur. Let's tie that into all of our questions. So in the context of what we just said, well, let's add another point of wonder, which is the element of Yom Kippur, Shu Gumar Hadin, the conclusion of judgment. The way Chazal talk about it is that the judgment begins on Rosh Hashanah, we have the 10 days of Esar Simei Tshuva, and the Gumar Hadin, the end of the judgment, the sealing of the judgment, happens on Yom Kippur. That's the phrase we say. It's written on Rosh Hashanah and it's sealed on Yom Kippur. Hu Yom Mechilo Sa'avon. But what happens on Yom Kippur? Hashem forgives our averos. Yom Hispaisus Ben Kutcher Bricho V'Yisrael. It's a day of appeasement, so to speak, between the Jewish people and Hashem. These two concepts are contradictory. It's a very interesting question that he raises here. If you think about what's happening on Yom Kippur, let's just on our own, what takes place on Yom Kippur? So we plead forgiveness, we acknowledge our wrongdoings, and it's a day that Hashem has designated to forgive us. It's a day of forgiveness, a day of wiping the slate clean. Does that fit with judgment? With a sealing of judgment? So the Slama Rebbe asks, those two concepts don't really go well together. His language as follows: if you're willing to forgive and to become appeased with those who have done you wrong, halo ein zedin, then that's not judgment. Judgment is, this is what you did, this is what you get. That's judgment. I'm all for appeasement and forgiveness. That's great. We need it, and we have a day designated for it. That's what Yom Kippur is. But then why do we say that Yom Kippur is the Gemar Adin? If Yom Kippur is all about forgiveness and appeasement, then it really shouldn't be the Gemar Adin, because those two concepts don't go together. This whole concept of forgiveness requires understanding, which we'll get to. How can it be she'adam chote kol hashana, a person sins the whole year round, u'moichlin lo b'yom ha'kippurim, and then I don't care for it, you can just, you know, get rid of the whole thing. The concept needs a lot of explanation, and we will get to all of that. Mirtz Hashem, I hope we'll cover all of it as we get through. Okay, those are enough questions. Those are all of our questions to begin an understanding. What is this day about? That's Oyum Venora, that's frightening and awesome. Seems to be because of the concept of judgment. Judgment doesn't allow us to sing Shira. You can't sing songs of praise when the books of life and death are open. Yet, judgment also is on the entire world. Animals, angels, non-Jews, everybody's included within it, not just us. Yet, we do have to rejoice. We say a Shechianu. We have Bitachon that will come out well. It's just a lot of different elements going on. What is the understanding of this day? All right, let's get started with an answer. Reishis Nevoyer, and I'm in Oth Beis on page 2, starting with the letter.
Hashanah, so like coronation day.
Oh, we're getting there. Reishis Nivoyer Inyani Tzumos Shalom HaKadosh Rosh Hashanah. Let us start with understanding or explaining what the essence of this day really is about. Shakosav Mifaresh Bo Ki Kadosh Hayom La'adoneinu, that the psukim in Navi describe it as a Yom Kadosh, as a holy day for our Master, capital M. Yeser Al Kosher HaMo'adim. All the other holidays are called Mikra'i Kodesh. They're called convocations of holiness. They're days of holiness. Rosh Hashanah is called the Yom Kadosh La'adoneinu, the holy day for our Master. What makes this day holier than all the other holidays? Asks the Slonim Rebbe. Bechadei lahavin efes katzeo mikdushas hayom hazeh, to understand this Yom Kedusha ki hu norah v'ayim, which is indeed awesome and frightening, uvotinasei malchusecha, in which your kingdom, kingship will be expressed. Harei aleinu lilmon mehatzilos to Rosh Hashanah. Where do we look to understand? Go to the Yer Machzor. You have to look at your Machzor to understand what the essence of the day is, because the sages in crafting the Rosh Hashanah Machzor give us insight into what really is the essence of this day, which the Anshe Knesset HaGedola established for us. Hinei, the two lines on the bottom. Hinei b'chol tfilos Rosh Hashanah, in all of the actual tfilos of Rosh Hashanah, loy mishtakev v'loy muvlot klal inyan yom hadin. We do not find, it is not expressed at all, this idea of the Yom Hadin, a day of judgment. Now, Nisana Tokif, which is what we started from, that paragraph was added much later in history. If you read the bottom of your Art Scroll Machzor footnotes, you'll see exactly which point in history. In medieval times, that was actually added. The liturgy that the Anshe Knesset HaGedola gave us, that the sages from the Second Temple period gave us, our primary Shmona Esrei, they did not include the concepts of judgment. It's not the focus of the day. We know that it's taking place, but it's not what we express as we prepare for this day. Ella, what is? Kulon soivavim al inyan hachtaras malchuso yizvorach al kol habriya. All we talk about is the hachtaras and lashon keser, a crown, the crowning of Hashem Yizvorach's malchus, his kingship, over the entire creation. That's the expression that we have. That's the focus that we have on Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem's kingdom should be revealed in the world. V'chol habakashos heima, all of our requests, all of the yearnings of the Jew on Rosh Hashanah is, uvechein yiskadesh shimcha Hashem Elokeinu, let your great name become sanctified. Let your fear, let your awe be instilled upon all of your creations. Let you should reign quickly, speedily in our day over all of your creations. Reign over the entire world. Over and over and over again, the phraseology that Chazal used in the Rosh Hashanah Matzor is that your malcha should be expressed. Hainu, shemivakshim shekvar yiye hatikon hagomor umaleya umalo ha'aretz da'a es Hashem. That we're mevakish, we request that Hashem is a presence which will fix, so to speak, complete the entire world, that the world will be filled with knowledge of you. And that therefore your crowning kingship should be over the entire tefillah, the entire world, excuse me.
Shouldn't we take out the Nisan Tokef, which has kind of taken away from the whole concept?
Okay, which is a fascinating question. I will see if he's going to get back to that at all. In other words, that addition, I have often wondered about that, because he's not the only one who talks about this focus, that the focus of the day is really about Malchus. Just Malchus, Malchus, Malchus. And that one paragraph, which becomes so moving to everybody.
Even Arshkol says it's the highlight.
Correct. Arshkol does say it's the highlight, which brings us back into the concept of Din. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about the only place that we really do focus on that, and it was a much later addition. But the primary liturgy is really focused not on that, but focused on the concept of the Malchus of Hashem. Vahabir Bazen, what's the explanation of this? This will be our final, we'll see if we can get, where we'll get up to. Vahabir Bazen, ki yisod v'shoresh Rosh Hashanah u'kumo, kumo the kosov as it's written, zeh hayom tchilos ma'asecha zikaron liyom rishon. This is the day of the tchilos ma'asecha, of the beginning of your work, a remembrance of that very first day. The holy Arizal, the Arizal HaKadosh, used to explain, Asher b'chol shana v'shana, kol advarim chozrin l'kadmusan. Like every year, things return to their original place, in a spiritual sense, uv'rosh shana mischadesha sabriyo, mishavim shuv kol ha'inyonim shahayu b'may sebreshes, in Kol Seder. Okay, we'll leave aside all of his Kabbalistic references. It's as if the world returns back to its place in the beginning of creation. It's as if we spiritually on Rosh Hashanah reconnect back to the very essence, back to the very beginning. Ki kol shana hi yichido miyuchedes. Each year is like its own origin or original creation. Ubriya sa'olam chadesh. And it's all new, mechadash. The world is created new. Revolva, who we studied also in this Chabura in past years, also writes on this exact same language, like the world is mischadesh. The whole world is recreated in Rosh Hashanah. It's like a fresh start. We relate to the world in a new way, and Hashem can relate to the world in a new way. As the Orach Chaim writes, that Shekol Abriya Lo Nivra L'Shisha Yomim, took 6 days. Rak B'Kolach HaShabbos Yesh Eschachus Abriya L'Shisha Yomim Sha'achrakach, and through Shabbos it gives its existence for the next part of the week. Chen Yesh B'Chol Rosh Hashanah B'Chinos Hischashus Habriya B'Chidush Malchus Yisbarach. Every year on Rosh Hashanah we have this newness, this idea that it's considered Mechadosh, starting fresh. And what's going to happen with that, and I'm going to stop here so we can get ready for Marv, Ufizeh Mevu'ar Inyan HaMishpat Vadim Rosh Hashanah. That's going to explain why there's judgment. It's like, how do we know there's judgment? Since this is the day that the world was created, since this is the day that recreates the Malchus, so it's only natural, D'me'achar Shehayom HaRas Olam, that's going to be Nischad, it's going to be new, that there should be a din, and they're looking at it and saying, well, how are we doing? Which is what we'll get to more at length through Hashem next week. But what we'll set up with is all of the questions that we ask, the confusing nature of the day, and the beginning of our approach is what the day is really about is Malchus. And then through Malchus, what's reflected, therefore, is the concept of the din. And then through that concept of the din, everything will. But that's all reflected through the Malchus as to then how that will manifest and answer the confusing nature of the day, how all of those things really can coexist in this one powerful, confusing, awesome, frightening day of Rosh Hashanah. Ritz Hashem will continue next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.